chapter 38. Job chapter 38. As I was reading through the Bible, again, I read through the book of Job and all the accusations his friends had made to him and the judgments that they had made, basically condemnations. And then I came to the part where God began to reply to Job. And as I read that, the more I read, the more I realized how big God is. And not just how big he is, but what he's able to do and what he has done. And I don't think you can read these four verses without thinking about God a little differently. And so I would like for us to look at this tonight and see some of the things that God asked Job. Basically, God was asking Job a bunch of questions. Now, Job didn't have any answers. Most of the questions he didn't have any answers to. In fact, when God did this, Job is actually thought to be the oldest book in the Bible. It was written before anything else, even before Moses wrote the Pentateuch. So it goes way back. And God asked Job a lot of questions that Job couldn't answer. Today we can answer some of those questions because science has found out things and learned things about some of the things we're going to look at tonight. But if you think about Job and how this must have impressed Job. So let's start with Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 3. Job 38, 1 through 3. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. I washed my tongue this afternoon. I can't do a thing with it.
Washed it, can't do a thing with it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Throughout the book of Job, Job wanted to communicate with God. And he wanted to communicate with God to complain about the things that were happening to him. Finally, after some time, God replied to Job with a series of questions, none of which could Job answer. It became evident that God and Job were not even on the same planet. God was so much more than Job could ever imagine. As I read God's response, I thought that it might be good for us to look at a portion of God's reply to Job's complaint as a reminder to us about our relationship with God and who he is. The first thing that God reminded Job about was that he was totally in the dark in the counsel that he was given, to him by his so-called friends. If that were not enough, God called Job an idiot. Well, not necessarily in words without knowledge, when he said he words without knowledge. God then told Job to be a man and to answer any question that God would ask. And I must tell you at this point that Job did not answer a single question out of the four chapters of questions or 129 verses that were addressed to him. Before we criticize Job, let's think about where God had permitted Job to be. The situation-wise, let me remind us all that none of us have ever been in such a place, situation-wise. Job was very sick. He had lost everything that he owned. His family was gone. His wife was taunting him to curse God and die. And as far as Job was concerned, Job was, and I doubt that any of you have ever been, in a situation that couldn't really get much worse. God began to ask Job a bunch of questions that Job would have had to be God to know the answers to. I would like to take some major time to look at some of these questions. We have to understand that we have almost 6,000 years of science between us and Job. And I don't think that any of us would do much better than Job. So let's look at the first question, Job 38, 4 and 5. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare now, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? This will be an easy one for us to answer, because we have God's word to give us an answer. Job didn't exist because God had not created man at that time. If anybody measured it, it had to be God. God asked Job, how did I create the earth? Who measured it? When he talks about putting a line upon it, that's how they measured it. They'd put a line on it. So, of course, Job had not been born at that time, and so he didn't have an answer. The next question has been figured out by scientific study. Let's look at it, Job 38, 6 and 7. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now we know that God balanced a gravity situation, that one day that all of the planets and suns will collide and burn with atomic energy, probably from the sun. We also know that from what Moses wrote in Genesis, that God did the creation from nothing. We can learn one other thing, and from this question, and that would be that God created the host of heaven before he created everything else, or they would have not been there to sing and shout. Think about that. Before God created the earth and everything else, he created the angels and the seraphim, because they were going to sing while God created everything. While Jesus was working, the angels were singing. And, you know, the others were shouting. Job 38, 8 through 11. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had been issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. We know the answer today, because we've seen the various parts of the world, such as the white sand beaches along the Atlantic coast, and the cliffs of Dover, England. We know that God created and called into existence the oceans and the land masses. And today we can say that God did all of this because we have the Bible, and Job didn't have it in his time or history. So let's drop down a few verses to verse 16. Job 38, 16 through 18. God asked, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. interesting questions when these questions were being asked, because this was one of the first books written in the Bible. Man, the inspiration of Scripture is just automatic. It's proven by the things that God is saying here that man could not know. How would man know that the oceans were fed by springs from underneath? How would man know that? They wouldn't know that. Only God, who made it, would know that. How would man know about the depths? We've got the trench out here in the what do they call that circle there, or that triangle?
The Bermuda Triangle.
And it's so deep, probably one of the deepest parts of the ocean. Who would know anything about that? Man wouldn't, because man didn't have diving equipment or anything, and man had never been in those kind of things. God is asking Job questions that no man could know. He's asking him questions that, since he asked the question, science has examined some of these things, and they have come up with answers to telling us about, you know, well, the seas are being fed by springs from underneath, and it's not just water running out of the rivers and streams and things, or rain. It's actually coming up from underneath the ocean, and that's what's supplying the oceans. Man couldn't know that. And here is God asking Job about that, and how did the writer of Job know about the springs? Only God knew that there were depths of the seas that would crush a man. Further you go down, the more pressure there is on the weight of the water. It's just fantastic. It's just unbelievable. And God knew all of that. And he's asking Job about that. And the fact of the matter is that he knew that. God understood how he made things. And God made inquiries about the experience of death and asked Job if he had been there. I don't know of anybody but one man who has ever come back from the experience of death, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I know Christ raised a couple of people from the dead, the widow's son and
Lazarus
and maybe a young lady or two that Paul helped, but people just have not ever experienced it and don't know about it. And yet God asked Job about this. And Job had been close enough to see the boundaries of death, I believe. I believe Job was that ill. Could Job comprehend the size of the earth? Can anybody comprehend the size of the earth? Can we comprehend it in this modern day of science and understanding? I have flown. I have seen the curvature of the earth out there, and I have seen the pollution building over the years as I was flying. And I would say, you know, it used to be just a little thin layer around the earth. Now it's, you know, it's getting up close to 10 or 12,000 feet. And that's the pollution that man is generating. God knew all these things. He could see all these things, and he was asking Job about them. And how could Job comprehend? I believe that Job's answer would have to be no. He hasn't been there. He hasn't done those things. So far, the questions have been concerning the earth. But now let's inquire about the universe around the earth. Job 38, 31, and 32. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Can Job control the stars or galaxies? The course, of course he can't. God is just reminding Job that there are things which he had no control over. For example, he asked about Maseroth and Arcturus. Those are planets that indicate the change of season from winter to summer. Because they move. They're in the sky one season, and the rest of the seasons they're not there. Because they have moved around in the universe. And God has made all that. And God is asking Job, do you know how to do all this stuff? Huh? You're complaining about me, and I'm not doing job right. Do you know how to do all of these things? And so he was asking, can Job control the stars? And God is just reminding Job that there are things which he has no control over. Would you believe that neither do we have control over the creation of God? We don't even have control over some of the dumb things that we get ourselves into by disobeying God's word. God is just getting started with Job. So let's look at a few more things that God asked Job about. There's a purpose in my message, and we'll get into it in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, let's look at some of the other questions that God asked Job about. God had a purpose too. And he was going to get to the friends that had come to encourage Job. In chapter 39, God began to inquire from Job information about some of the animals that God created in the beginning. Let's look at chapter 39. Job 39, 1 through 8. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves. They bring forth their young ones. They cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn. They go forth and they return not unto them. Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house have I made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling? He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searcheth after every green thing. When I was out visiting a family in the Las Vegas area, we went outside of Las Vegas. We went south towards Arizona, and they had a house there that they had built out in the desert. Basically, it was desert. They had wild horses running around in their house, in their yard. And one of their girls, had tried to catch one. People, there are so many wild animals around this world. Even in the deserts, there are camels wandering around, loose. We think all those as domestic animals. They're not. They're wild. Just like the horses are, just like it's talking here about the wild ass. And no one owns that animal. That animal lives there. And God is taking care of him, just like he's taking care of the deer. The young deer are born. Does anybody have to teach them to eat? Does anybody have to teach them how to walk or anything? Have you ever seen a horse born or a cow born? They're born, and within a few minutes, they're up, standing on their legs, walking around. They know where to go to get their food. You know, they do. They just know that automatically. God has given them that knowledge. God has, when he planned this world and began to make it, he made it so intricate. He took care of everything. And he made it just a marvelous thing. When an animal is born, the animal already has a knowledge of how to take care of itself. It knows it has to eat. I don't care if it's a puppy or a kitten or a little mouse. they know where they have to go to get nourishment, and they take care of themselves. The animal, the mother or the father, normally doesn't. Birds do, but you take warm-blooded animals, and in most cases, nobody has to teach those animals anything. They are born with an incense instinct that they know what to do and how to take care of themselves. It's just amazing that God has put that knowledge in an animal. And God is asking Job about that. Job, do you know how long it takes for, you know, a deer to calf? Was it a deer or what was it? Get a hold of this. Hinds. And how long? At that time, at the time of Job, they didn't know all these things. They didn't know how long a woman would be with child. They didn't know how long an animal would be with the baby animals in it. And here, God knew all of that. And he was asking Job, Job, do you know all this stuff? You claim to be so smart. You're complaining about me, and here you are. Tell me how, you know, all this. Give me this information. Basically, God was asking Job to provide information about animals that he had seen, animals that no man cared for. And of course, at the time, not much was known about these animals. There are still animals today they don't know anything about. Today we can answer the question because we've studied the various animals that God has mentioned here. But at that time, Job was unable to answer. Then God asked about an animal that we believe is extinct. We've heard about them, but have you ever seen one? I haven't. Job 39:9-12. Will the unicorn be willing to save thee, or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great, or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? Wilt thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it to thy barn? People used to use horses. Now, horses are not real smart animals. A lot of people will tell you how smart the horses are. They're not smart. A horse, if you tie it up on a short rope, will break its neck and die. And here God is talking about a unicorn. He's saying, can you teach an animal to plow your field, plant the seed, harvest it, and bring it on into your crib? I don't know of an animal that does that other than us. Man, we can't train. I don't care how many animals you have or how long you have them. I know they used to plow with horses, they used to plow with oxen, but there's not an ox that will harvest the corn and bring it back to you. He'll eat it, but he won't harvest it and bring it back. I'll do that with food if you put it in front of me. Okay. So he's asking God, and he's asking God about these animals, and evidently, there used to be at one time an animal called a unicorn, meaning it had one horn. Science tries to speculate today as to what it was because it's mentioned in the Bible. In fact, it's mentioned right here in Job. And so science tries to tell us what it was talking about. And they have all kinds of speculation. They talk about different antelope in Africa and things, and the way their horns look and things. But I believe that there was such an animal as a unicorn. God refers to it here. And would God ask Job questions on non-existent animals? No, of course not. So, just because mankind is in rebellion, men try to say that there never was such an animal. But God inquired of Job about the animal, so we believe that there must have been such a creature in Job's time. Now, it must be extinct now. Can an animal be trained to plow a field on his own and then harvest it and store the grain in a storage facility for us? It's never happened before. So why would God ask about it if it didn't exist? Job 39:13-17. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Peacocks can fly, and they do fly. Ostriches, though they have wings and feathers, cannot fly. Oh yeah, but they can't fly.
No.
And that's sort of what God is indicating here. Feathers to he's indicating here's two different birds. One can fly, one can't fly. Ostrich, they lay their eggs in the sand or in the dust, and that's where they leave them and let the sun hatch them. They don't sit on them like chickens do with eggs and or ducks, and so they just leave it. And when it hatches out, it's on its own. It's on its own. So, ostriches can't fly. The birds live in an arid climate, and so it doesn't sit on its eggs. It hatches them by leaving them in the sun. It buries them in the sand, lets the sun provide the heat to hatch them. It's also one of the dumber animals on the earth. God mentions this to Job. Let's look at one more example that God gave to Job in this chapter. Job 39:26-30. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Who teaches birds to fly? Who teaches birds to fly? Nobody. It's an instinct. It's built into the bird.
The goody bird needs to work on it.
God is mentioning, he has mentioned something here that a lot of people would not realize. A lot of people wouldn't know. There are certain birds that have very unusual eyes, such as the vulture. You see them circling way up there. Sometimes they're just a little black spot. Birds of prey, all birds of prey, have the ability to focus like a telescope. They can see little critters, mice, down on the ground from several thousand feet.
Cool.
And they are the only animals that have that ability. We don't have that ability.
What about the owls?
Well, it's birds of prey.
Birds.
And so they are able to focus like a telescope. They are able to see long distances. And that's what he was just saying here.
That's cool.
They have this ability. God gave it to them because he knew they were going to be up there soaring, riding the thermals and just like a buzzard. They're circling around up there. They're using their nose. A buzzard has a nose in its beak. They're using their nose to sense food from great, great distances. And they will follow that trail in the air back to where the food... You wonder how the buzzards... They may look down and see that roadkill laying there. And then they come down and become roadkill, okay? But usually they will follow the scent of the rotting meat to that location. And they follow it in the air with their nose. And God has just made these creatures so fantastic abilities. Dogs have a sense of smell that's 1,000 times what ours is. 1,000 times. They can trail a person 2 or 3 days after the person has walked through there. Because the molecular, something molecular remains in the air from whatever has passed through. And so they're able to find these things. That's why they use them for drugs. That's why they use them for many purposes. Is because God has made those animals with abilities that we don't have. And I think that's pretty fantastic. So birds have the telescopic vision, just like Superman, you know. Now for the application. If God can do these things, then why do we fret about the little skirmishes that we get into as we go through life? If God can do all these things for all these animals, why do we fret about these skirmishes we get into as it goes through? Here was Job complaining about the God who created the universe and all that's in it, when Job just wanted to be able to talk to God. When the time came for Job to tell God what was bothering him, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Instead, Job listened as God told him about who he was and what he was able to do. And folks, we're in the same situation that Job was in, and it's the same God that we turn to for our needs. God made all these things, all these wonderful things, all these unique things. And that's the same God today that we're doing business with. After God questioned Job, Job felt pretty small and stupid. Look at Job's response to God's teaching, because that's what God was doing with Job. He was teaching him. And that's what God is doing with each one of us. The life we are living is actually a lesson from God. It's not an accident. It's a lesson from God. God wanted Job to learn that God will never do anything to hurt his child. Now, he may permit his child to be tried or tested, but faith will have the victory. God wanted Job to know that nothing is impossible for God. Job 42, 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I'll demand of thee and declare unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repeat and repent in dust and ashes. What a wonderful God we have. We have a chance to know him, to love him, and to experience his love for us. But the best part is that God loves us and cares for us in spite of our sin. Father, thank you for giving us the book of Job. Thank you for the man Job himself, whom you trusted, whom you believed in. And Father, he was faithful. He was a man of integrity. We would ask that you would help us to be people, souls of integrity, that you might be able to trust us to do your will and accomplish your purpose. And Father, we will praise you for all the things you're going to do for us and through us. And Father, may your will be done in each heart, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.